Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
On Monday night this week, you might have caught the edition of the Q&A program on the ABC. It featured the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson. It was, by and large, a lively and courteous discussion, and there were a lot of Christians who would have been cheering for the conservative positions that Jordan Peterson seems so almost uniquely able to articulate when he's under pressure. But there were lots of dimensions to that discussion worthy of opening up, including the idea that Marxists can be Christians too. Now, if you didn't catch the program, a little explanation as we go, as we welcome Bill Muhlenberg back for another Culture Watch segment on 2020. Welcome along, Bill.
Great to be back.
Bill, there were lots of dimensions. Some listeners may not even be very familiar with Jordan Peterson. He is making a splash around the world because he's so adequately able to answer the left-wing positions on so many issues. What were your thoughts for his appearance on the ABC this week?
Yeah, he did a very good job. Canadian psychologist who has zillions of, it seems, YouTube followers especially, where his lengthy talks are posted, and millions of followers. He seems to especially be helping young men, boys, in a very anti-male culture to, face life, deal with problems, take personal responsibility. So in terms of his practical advice, he gives a lot of good, solid stuff, often close to biblical principles. He himself is not a Christian, but contrary to so much of the wisdom of our humanities departments today, which is almost entirely of the far left and with all kinds of bizarre theories from the transgender agenda and so on, he comes from a more conservative point of view, and exactly because he refused to bow down to the dictates of the Canadian government in terms of being forced to call a guy a she if he went that route of a trans operations and so on, he's become very famous indeed, but he's certainly known for more than just that, but that's certainly been a big part of his kind of meteoric rise to fame in the last few years.
Bill, I know you're not necessarily a fan of the ABC's Q&A program because it does usually appear to have such a left-wing bent to it that rarely is there any balance when it comes to a conservative opinion. What were your thoughts for the lineup that were on with him on Monday night?
Well, yes, like many, I'm not a fan of the ABC in general and the Q&A in particular, and haven't watched it for ages because it's so appallingly bad, so utterly taken over by the radical left that, and the worst thing is I got to fund it with my tax dollars. That's the grating part of it all. But I did watch the entire episode knowing that, well, look, if Jordan Peterson were the only person in the entire building, you know, the panel, the moderator, the audience, they almost always are all left, he would still do very well indeed, and that's exactly what happened. He handled very well his many critics. The so-called moderator, Tony Jones, is, of course, a person of the left. We had a number of decidedly left-wing, even Marxist fellow panelists, and plenty in the audience, of course, were of the left. So in a sense, it was your typical ABC hatchet job, bring in one or two token conservatives, pretend you're offering a balanced and even-handed program, and, push the leftist agenda anyways. But as I say, Peterson is more than able to take on a whole room full of lefties and still conduct himself very well indeed and make the case that he wants to. So he did quite well. He had some, there were some setups, which even he was aware of even beforehand, given that the trans issue has been something he's so noted for. Well, surprise, surprise, what did Q&A do but to put on one of Australia's most well-known trans activists and have him sit right next to Jordan. So, you know, typical ABC, but Jordan did very well through it all.
It did make for sensational television if you are right into these debates. And there were a lot of issues covered, and let's not get into some of those issues that even you raise as you do now. Let's get into an issue that came up right at the end of the program where the final question was asking each of the panelists whether they believed in God. And it was a very direct question, and a direct response was anticipated from each of the panelists. What were your thoughts for some of the controversial things that some of the panelists gave as their response?
Yes, that was interesting. As we said, Peterson himself is not a Christian. He's quite open about that. However, he's very open to the biblical worldview, certainly the Judeo-Christian worldview. He often talks and writes about the Bible and the biblical storyline. He says he wants to live as if God exists, so at best we could say he's agnostic. And as I always keep saying, we need to pray for Peterson that he comes into the kingdom. Probably 80% of the stuff he says is already in line with basic Christian truth claims and ethics. So it'd be neat. You know, we think of others like Andrew Boat here in Melbourne, also in the same camp, not a Christian, but would be neat if they became Christians, obviously. The others were an interesting mix. The Labour Party gal admitted to being agnostic. We had a Liberal MP who did say he was a Christian. We had the trans person claiming to be a person of faith. And probably the one that may have raised the most eyebrows, so much so that I wrote an entire article on it, was a left-wing feminist Marxist who writes for The Guardian newspaper, who, you know, gave this very glib and often heard line, "Oh, I'm a Marxist and a Christian." Or in her case, she said, "I'm a Catholic and a Marxist, and the two are fully reconcilable, and we get along just fine, and I'm fully committed to each." Which even the Liberal MP said, "I'm not sure if he can be both at the same time." Well, he was quite right. And as I wrote in a recent piece, this is what's known as an oxymoron. Two things in the same sentence that usually don't or can't go together. So I tried to point out the very fundamental differences between the Christian worldview and, of course, the Marxist worldview, not least of which Marx was a committed atheist who wanted to destroy all religion. And as you might gather, Christianity is a theistic religion. So on so many levels, there's nothing to compare between the two. But this young feminist female was quite happy to say, "Oh, yeah, this is, they're one and the same. If you're a Christian, you should be a Marxist." So interesting stuff.
So, Bill, you would say that type of comment was either the epitome of stupidity, or was it in some sense a master stroke that appeals to people who have a Marxist bent to suggest that Christians can be a part of this whole thing? What are your thoughts on whether or not actually it may have been intentional?
Well, I'm sure this gal, for example, like so many others, are fully committed to this idea. I would argue that they don't know the first thing about biblical Christianity. If they did, they would not make such foolish claims to say it's identical with the Marxist worldview. But yeah, look, we've had a history, as I write in my article. As long as Marxism has been around, there have been those, well, two camps. One, those who are committed Marxists who've said we need to co-opt the churches, we need to take over Christianity if we want to succeed in taking over the West. So we've had plenty of those. But on the other hand, we've had plenty of clueless Christians who, you know, have sung the praises of communism and said, "Oh, what a wonderful thing." So in my article, I mentioned a number of obvious suspects, including one guy who was known as the Red Dean of Canterbury, an Anglican priest and dean of Canterbury who gushed in his praises over the Soviet Union. He really believed heaven had come to earth and the Soviet Union under Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev. And if you want to know what Christianity looks like, simply go to the Soviet Union. This is just mind-boggling stuff, given that, as Solzhenitsyn and others have pointed out, something like 100 million people were killed in the name of godless communism, many in the Soviet Union. This is one of the most bloody, terrible tyrannies and dictatorships human history has ever known. And, of course, they, first of all, targeted the churches, pulled down churches, killed tens of thousands of priests and Christians. So for clueless Westerners, the gush in their praises over something like the former Soviet Union as the epitome of Christianity on earth, well, talk about clueless Christians, talk about deception, and talk about, Lenin used to describe as useful idiots. They're very useful in singing the praises of communism, but once we get in power, they'll be the first to lose their heads.
Bill, for that person listening to us now saying, of course, I'm a Christian believer and my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. I want to be more Christ-like. And yet they find themselves flirting with the Marxist, communist ideologies, which are becoming so much more prominent now. What do you say to that Christian about those ideas of flirting with Marxism?
Yeah, well, it's a real problem. Certainly the millennials in America, we're seeing this big time. People going with socialists like Bernie Sanders and Octavio Cortez, who are both hardcore radical left socialists. And a lot of young people seem to be soaking it up. Well, we need another entire discussion on this one as well, but I have done some pieces on it. You know, the idea that we should be compassionate, care for the poor, you know, share with the needy. Well, sure, that's all 100% biblical. No problems there at all. The question is, how is it best achieved? Of course, in socialism, the state confiscates your wealth, your personal property, and distributes it as it sees fit. When Jesus talked about looking after the poor, he never talked about let the state do it. He said, you do it. You, out of your own resources, you help those in need. Help your neighbor. And, of course, all that presumes things like private property, which is the heart of the free market, and it's the very antithesis of communism or socialism. So the end result of wanting to help the poor and needy, to show compassion, yeah, that's Christian. But the Marxists have tried to co-opt that. But using the instrumentality of the state and confiscating the wealth of individuals to give as it chooses. And, of course, as we know from history, usually the overwhelming bulk of what's been confiscated goes to a handful of leaders who live in luxury, and the masses still suffer in poverty and destitution. So, there's a big difference between the Christian ethic of how we help the poor and how we think of wealth and poverty and the Marxist version.
Well, Bill, I'll point people to a couple of articles that you've written this past week, and might add that they are important articles given the subject matter and given the seriousness of some of the concerns here, and particularly as people are moving in different ideological directions in an election year. Let's point people to BillMuhlenberg.com. And you can simply Google Culture Watch, one word, to get a hold of those articles. One of those is called Jordan Peterson to the Rescue. And the other one is You Can't Be a Christian Marxist, Though Plenty Have Tried. BillMuhlenberg.com or Google Culture Watch, one word. Bill, always good getting your insights. Thanks so much for sharing them again today with us on 2020.
Always a pleasure.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.